Hello and welcome in to an abundance of not the first abundance of not of 2015. Garrett here with Brad and Wade. How you guys doing?
I'm wondering where the champagne is. What the heck?
Champagne? We drank it already. It's gone.
It's the 7th of January. Can you believe how quickly this year is going already?
It's already been a week since New Year's.
Ooh.
How you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Fan-freaking-tastic.
I'm good.
I'm recovering nicely.
You're recovering. That's right. You were weren't the most pleasant version of yourself last time.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Are you sorry?
Not really.
Yeah, then why you gotta lie? I mean, it's just rude.
Why you gotta be all like that?
Why you gotta be so rude?
Speaking of the new year, do either of you guys have any resolutions or resolution-esque actions? Crickets. Nice.
Okay, then. Mine are to lose this weight and get back to school.
That's a good one.
School.
Both school. Semi-easily achievable with enough, a little bit of dedication.
Hey, yep. Said before, everything's achievable with enough money.
Doesn't have to be money, it just has to be determination. Brad?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
Well, I saw your wife's post on Facebook, and I thought that was a very interesting concept to the resolution situation.
I agree.
And it got me thinking, and intentional...
Well, for those that are not friends with my wife on Facebook, care to share with the class?
No, I'm going to keep it all to myself.
We will share it.
To my understanding, and please elaborate, as you know her a little bit better than I do.
Slightly.
That instead of setting a goal to achieve, like losing weight, like going to school, like, you know, whatever, it was my interpretation that she finds a word, a characteristic of behavior that she would like to better... be a harbor of, and then works towards implementing good. That.
Yeah, it's a little more broad than a standard resolution. And the beauty of it is, you know, you don't get yourself backed into a corner with a single thing. This is a broad, you know, last year her word was intentional.
Yep.
So everything that she did was to be more intentional with how she acted and how she behaved and what she did.
How does one be more intentional?
Well, I mean, when you wake up, you know, when you're going to go do something, do you kind of, or let's take your day off tomorrow. What do you have planned for your day off? Exactly. You're kind of on the fence. Nothing really planned, nothing really set out to do. Being more intentional is you'd give yourself objectives that you're going to intend to do. You're more purposeful. You're more more resolve in the day-to-day actions or whatever.
And the flip side of that coin is recognizing, and this took a little bit to wrap my head around at first, but recognizing that everything we do in life is intentional. If you have nothing planned for tomorrow, that's because you have planned nothing.
You intentionally did not plan something. Whether you sat and thought, I'm not going to do something tomorrow, is a different concept.
Right.
The flip side to this theory or her version of the resolution is that it's kind of immeasurable. You know, you know if you're getting better at whatever you're doing, but... it's harder to say that you failed at it, you know, whereas losing weight. Oh, well, I didn't lose any weight this year. I failed that resolution, but actively practicing a characteristic of behavior that you want to better emulate. That's an ongoing process.
It is. It's a process and not an event.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an internal thing. I think it makes the New Year's resolution concept a lot more personal. You're answering to yourself.
Yep, it's true. And I like that, and I think I'm going to try to emulate that a bit. I have been a fairly critical judge of myself in being soft with people, whether it's soft-spoken, whether it's soft mannerisms, uncertainty in areas that I shouldn't be uncertain. So I definitely want to work on improving those aspects, and that's going to be something I'm going to work towards.
You want to be more callous? The heck?
Not necessarily callous, but more stern.
Hmm. More intentional.
Yes. So, coincidentally. When I saw her concept, I thought, you know what, that's a... I like that whole train of thought.
Yep.
So, there's my little rant.
She's smart.
She's smart. All that and brains too, huh, buddy?
I know it. One lucky dude right here.
That's it. And a happy one at that.
A very happy one.
So anything over the last week that needs to be brought to the surface?
Kind of following on from your last weekend, we had some car repairs to work on, which I have a little bit of a rant about that. we both have GM vehicles. They're Pontiac G6s, which are obviously discontinued now.
Yeah, because Pontiac is discontinued.
Pontiac is discontinued, which is another rant for another time. Sure. So we have been getting recall notices, as most GM owners are. One of the recall notices we got was to fix a problem with the third tail light. You know, the high tail lamp.
Sure. One that sits in the middle of the rear window. Not...
The one that. Yep. That's the one. So we had started having an issue with her car, where that light would just stick on. The other two brake lights would work fine, but that one would stick. So we receive a recall notice that says, you know, we've identified a problem with the third tail lamp, blah, 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 this will fix that. And the problem identified is that it would randomly stick on and stay on. Oh, cool. Okay. Our problem's covered under recall. Let's go get it taken care of. So we take it in. Here's what we need. Perfect. We go back and pick up the car later, and it's sitting outside with the third tail lamp stuck on.
That's awesome.
Brilliant.
It is awesome. So I, you know, they had handed the keys back over to us, and that's when I noticed it. So I went back in, and I said to the guy, this was supposed to be fixed. And he goes, well, you didn't tell us that we had a problem with that. You didn't tell us you were bringing it in to fix a problem. You said it was for the recalls. I said, the recall paper said this was the problem. Why would I tell you, you know, why would I repeat to you what the recall notice said? I was coming to have it fixed.
Here's the
thing. Well, you didn't tell. Yeah.
And this is what's wrong with them. So after you just read them, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them. What?
Yeah, so, but you didn't tell us that there was a problem with that light. So, you know, we went ahead and fixed the recall items, but, you know, that could be something else.
A shotgun to the face is something else, too.
Yeah, so, and there were a couple of other issues that were unresolved as well, and it just kind of crossed my mind that all of the problems that we still have with them would have been discovered in testing. Did you ever test the work that you did?
Yeah, and this coming from somebody who has to test his work on a weekly, you know, on a job-by-job basis, it's come second nature to you.
Yeah.
The wheel fell off. Did you guys test the lug nuts? Oh, there were supposed to be lug nuts on the wheel?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't realize that.
Who knew?
Yeah,
so needless to say, we are not very happy with that Chevy dealer and won't be going back.
And can you take it to another dealer? Or because the recall, quote-unquote, has been done, will they not touch it now?
No, we can take it to a different Chevy dealer, but the recall is done, but for other stuff, I'm going to work through it myself. I know how to trace electrical faults. I'll figure out what's wrong with it and just fix it myself.
Worst comes to worst, you can always tee off that tie center tail light to a brake light that works, and then you'll know that that's a pretty easy electrical rewire.
Problem fixed.
Yep. Our weekend was, at least my weekend was kind of, a little demolition order.
We had knocked down walls.
It took me a second. We have two mirrors that were their floor-to-ceiling mirrors in this little corner of our house, and they were outdated and ugly and needed to go. A little masking tape later, a hammer and pry bar, they were then removed. Not necessarily whole.
I hope you're not superstitious.
Nah. And then the drywall behind those mirrors, not only did they have all that goo on them, but they were in sad shape as well. And so we figured drywall's not that expensive. We tore all that out too, since one of the walls we're going to put a door in for storage under our staircase. So that was Saturday. We went to Home Depot to look at some stuff Saturday afternoon. We ended up buying some new closet doors for a downstairs hall closet because those were mirrored also. And so we got some white six-panel style doors there. They had a deal on, you know, those electric heaters that are mock fireplaces?
Yep.
So they had a deal on one of those from $299 down to $254. But they only had the display model left. The store manager said we could take that one because they weren't getting any more. And whenever I am buying a floor model, I always ask what they're going to do for me because it's been on display.
It's used, absolutely.
So they took another 10% off of that. So a $300 unit for $225 sounds good to me.
Not bad.
So we got that all taken care of. We got a handyman coming tomorrow to look at some electrical stuff for us where this hall closet's going to go and get that all situated. Which brings me to the next few weeks to come. Our father is driving up to Seattle for 3 to 4 weeks. He's not sure. And needs someone other than people out at the river to rely on in order to take care of the animals. Animals being a dog, a cat, and a macaw. So we get to animal sit. And we're kind of... I mean, we're going to do it, but figuring out all the logistics for it's going to be fun.
It's the menagerie again. We could charge $2 for kids to walk through.
Yeah, we get the petting zoo. So after tomorrow, we will have one dog, three cats, two birds, and a ferret occupying the same residential space, plus 3.5 people. So that'll be fun.
That's going to be lots of fun.
Yeah. That's that. Wade, do you have anything to add?
My weekends are pretty lackluster already.
See? Intentional.
I mean, I was working on the channel. That's pretty much what I was doing.
Yeah, and speaking of, for any of us looking at there, any of those listeners who keep up on our Facebook page or on YouTube, we do have Far Cry 4 in process now. Wade, what are you doing on your channel?
I think I... just finished having Outlast up, and I am now working on Dead Space.
Okay. And I saw you had a Shadows of Mordor. So are you still doing that, or...?
It's getting there. I think I only have, like, 4 episodes. I'm thinking either start working on SCP Containment Breach and Dishonored.
Very good. With that...
One more shout-out on my side.
Yep.
Last weekend, with the car issues and the illness and everything, one more thing that we did do, though, was it was my wife's birthday. So we did spend some time, doing some stuff for her.
Very good. Anything you wish to publicly express, or are you being vague for intentionally?
No, not intentionally, but not... Nothing specific to share either. We went out to eat, and she got a few presents that she enjoyed, but nothing major. Kind of a low-key celebration.
Fair enough. All right, and with that, let's jump into some movies. So, coming out this week, we have yet another sequel. Taken 3 hits the theaters. Liam Neeson returns. In this movie, his ex-wife is brutally murdered. Consumed by rage and framed for the crime, he goes on a run to evade the relentless pursuit of CIA, FBI, and police. And it is his last time in which he must use his unique set of skills to track down the real killers, exact a unique brand of justice, and protect the only thing that matters now, his daughter. This is rated PG-13 with a critic rating of, sadly, only 30%. So
it does not surprise me.
Yeah, a sequel and then a follow-up sequel. Unless it's great, it's horrible, typically.
Which, I have to confess on this one, I have not seen Taken or Taken 2 yet. So
I did see the first Taken, and it was a little... I mean, to me, yes, it's a movie. But it's a movie that's rooted heavily in reality. It's not a sci-fi. It's not a, you know, a fantasy. It's, you know, a real-life thriller slash drama. And to me, it was a little far-fetched. I mean, you have this one guy who's not a kid who, based on a couple little pointers, tracks down an entire woman and drug trafficking organization and takes it out. Single-handedly. So, I don't know.
It was kind of a warning Batman. Call. For, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like a warning call. It's like, you don't know who you're talking to. This guy could be anything. I'm referring to, if you've seen the first one, the girls talk to a guy just out of the airport, and that guy happens to be the targeter for the woman trafficking ring.
Yep.
So it's I think it's a decent enough call to say, you know, be careful who you talk to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, it goes back to, you don't know who you're talking to on the phone. The guy could be freaking special ops assassin or something.
It's the
you know?
Guy who sits there and, like, listens to your voice for 8 hours just to figure out every reflection of it.
Yeah, little cadence. I mean, the first one was good. I didn't see the second one because I kind of felt it was like this movie. Like, you know, scene one, seen them all sort of thing. And without enough variation, but...
You gotta admit, the first part, or the best part of the first movie, when he's like, you don't remember me, but we were talking on the phone. He's like, the guy has that look like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely wasn't looking forward to that carry-on. Anyway, also coming out this week is Selma. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King movie chronicling the three-month period, 1965, where he led the campaign to secure equal voting rights in the face of violent opposition. The movie takes place, or is named after one of the towns where they marched. They started in Selma and went to Montgomery. This is rated, critic rating at 100%. Wow. So this is, looks like it's pretty solid for those history and drama buffs. It is PG-13, so fairly safe for most audiences there. Also, let's see, we got three more coming out this week. I'll try to be quick. We have an Inherent Vice. This is rated at 72%, rated R. It's an adaptation from a Thomas Pynchon novel, P-Y-N-C-H-O-N. Private Eye Doc Sportello's ex-old lady suddenly shows up with a story about a current billionaire land developer boyfriend whom she just happens to be in love with, and plots with his wife, apparently, to kidnap said billionaire and throw him in the loony bin. This is the way they kind of described it was a psychedelic 60s mixed with paranoia. Sure. Joaquin Phoenix is in this. Josh Brolin, who played the younger version of Tommy Lee Jones in the third Men in Black movie. Owen Wilson, Reese Witherspoon, and Benicio Del Toro. So some decent names in that.
Never heard of it, though. That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of flown under the radar. Predestination is number four this week at 75%. This is rated R, starring Ethan Hawke. This chronicles the life of a temporal agent sent to... sent on intricate series of time travel journeys designed to prevent future killers from committing their crimes. Now on his final assignment, the agent must stop the one criminal that has eluded him throughout time and prevent a devastating attack in which thousands of lives will be lost. So a bit of a sci-fi factor there with time travel, kind of the one, so, you know, vibe to it with Jet Li.
I was going to think more of a mix between Army of the 12 Monkeys. Yeah, I know. Weird movie. And there's another one. Minority Report.
Yep. And maybe a little bit of Time Cop in there, too. For obvious reasons. Lastly is Black Coffee. This is 33%. Rated PG. Let's see here. Robert picks the wrong time to meet his soulmate. After being fired from his father's company, he feels like his luck has run out until Morgan enters his life. Just as things heat up between them, Morgan's ex-husband vows to get her back, and Robert's gold-digging ex-girlfriend returns with an agenda of her own. With the help of his cousin, Robert's about to find out how much good can come out of a bad situation. So, a little bit of a maybe love triangle and chaos. I don't know. Could be interesting, but not necessarily on my radar.
Yeah, mine either.
Three movies I've never heard of.
Yep. To wrap up a little bit of the movies, we got the box office. The Hobbit still number one, 21.7 million. Into the Woods pulls in another 18.7. Unbroken at third at 18.2 million. And The Woman in Black 2 pulls in 15 million. We have two honorable mentions, those being A Most Violent Year and The Search for General Tso, or Tsao, depending on how you pronounce Chinese. And lastly, in movie news, Marvel has released a full-size teaser for the movie Ant-Man and a teaser trailer that was aired during last night's Marvel's Agent Carter. So if you're a fan of the Marvel TV series, you would have seen that. Otherwise, we do have a link on our show notes, and I'm sure you can find it on YouTube as well, for Ant-Man. We'll be curious to see if that ties into the Avengers series, as in the animated stuff, and I'm sure in the comics, Ant-Man is involved there. So we will see what happens there. Without further comment, we jump into news.
Our first piece of news this week is coming to us from International CES, which the press is being told doesn't stand for anything anymore, but we used to know as the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yes.
Currently going on in Las Vegas. So, amid the usual, you know, TV announcements and, you know, DVDs and all that kind of crazy stuff, Sony had an interesting surprise where they unveiled a brand new Walkman. I don't know if you remember the Walkman from the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
We had a nice little portable cassette player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've revived the brand, giving it a weird model number, the Walkman NW-ZX2. It's a high-resolution sound, essentially glorified MP3 player. You know, if you go to Walmart and you go to the electronics, they've got those off-brand, funky MP3 players.
Yep.
It looks kind of like that, except it's got the Sony name on it, and it's a Walkman. But the big reveal on this is that it supports file types that allow you to play extremely high-quality audio. Not just MP3, but studio master quality files.
Nice.
It has 128 gig of built-in memory and a micro SD card slot and is expected to hit the shelves priced at $1,120.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah.
I have two questions for that.
Yes, sir.
Not so much the price, but the capabilities.
Yes.
Where do you get studio mastered audio files?
There are a limited number. By limited number, I think maybe two online stores that do sell extremely high quality audio.
Okay.
So and it is available. It does cost more. It's not, you know, 99 cents a track.
Sure. And at $1,100, doesn't 128 gigs sound a little thin?
Yeah, just a little bit.
And especially considering that these file types are going to be quite a bit huge. Larger in size.
Yes.
128 gigs isn't going to get you the same amount of songs as a 128 gig iPhone. Or whatnot.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Interesting.
And the other very odd choice is that Sony has chosen to put Android on it, but not just any Android, Android 4.2. So it is being shipped two versions old.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around the concept there. Is it because that's what was available when they were producing it? Is it that's the version that they're controlling?
I don't know. There's
some questions there.
Is it the smallest version that it could have?
Yeah, I mean, that's a point, too. Is it a minimal file size that's easier to manage from an OS standpoint?
They haven't provided any information, just some very confusing specifications. Yeah,
confusing
so
indeed.
For $1,120, I would want more than 128 gig of RAM, or of storage. And a better operating system than, you know, 3-year-old Android.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think for $1,100 for something you put in your pocket should be, well, first of all, is excessive, but should have about the top line factors that you can throw on it.
You did say it does have a micro SD slot, so is it possible to have multiple micro SDs and just switch those out?
Yeah.
For, you know, with multiple different music on it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But for $1,120, I could go buy a brand new, you know what, Motorola X, not on contract, that would be running Android 4.4, and download software that would let me play high-quality files. And I would have a cell phone for free in the mix, and it would cost me, you know, half the price.
Sure.
I don't get it.
Yeah, for what the, I mean, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring the higher quality digital audio into the forefront and not have people rely on the MP3, the stripped down file size. But for that price point, that's excessive.
That was my thought.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to jump right in here on a similar topic. We talked last week on Apple's 16 gig version pulling in roughly $3 billion for the iPhone. And some flack. That's right, drinks. And some flack that they were getting in regards to, well, why didn't they increase that size when they doubled the other sizes for the iPhone, I think 6 launch. Well, they're getting more flack now, as it appears their 16 gigabyte devices aren't exactly 16 gigabytes. Now, according to a statement from Apple, that their devices, when they say they're 16 gig, are supposed to be 16 gig available to the consumer. Supposed to be that's the space that now you have available on this device. People aren't seeing that, and even more so now after iOS 8 was downloaded and installed. Apparently, it's a significantly larger operating system to run. So people are now suing Apple. There's two pair of Florida customers that are suing the company because of misleading, misrepresentation, and false advertising. excuse me. They say that Apple misrepresentations and omissions are deceptive and misleading because they omit material facts that an average consumer would consider in a decision or indecision whether to purchase its products. And rather iconically, Apple touts the iOS as the biggest iOS release ever. Of course, Apple wasn't referring to the literal size of iOS 8, which appears to be entirely undisclosed in its voluminous marketing materials extolling the purported virtues of iOS 8. Now, a few facts here. the iPhone 6 Plus, the 16, these are all 16 gig devices, reports to only give the users 12.7 gigs of available space. The iPhone 6 only gives 13 gigs. iPhone 5S gives 13.1. The iPad Air only gives you 12.6, same as the iPad standard. And the iPod Touch, I'm assuming, since I think the standard iPod is now discontinued, with the 16 gig device, only gives the user 12.3 gigs of available space.
So taking about 3 to 4 gigs of space.
I mean, three and change, pretty much across the board. And when you're only talking about 16 gigs, I mean, you're talking, what, 20, 30%?
Sure.
So at first when I read this, I thought, okay, I don't know what's, you know, how this is going to play out. Because when you buy a 300 gig hard drive or a terabyte hard drive for your computer, once you load your operating system on it, you're not having a terabyte of space left or whatever that value is. The operating system takes up space. We all know that, or all computer people know that. But according to the article, it was published by Apple saying that the size of the device was what the users will expect to see on their device.
Which it wasn't.
Which now these people are saying they're not getting that space available, especially now after iOS 8, which consumes even more space than previous operating systems.
I find it interesting that they would say that that's what users would have available.
I do too, and I didn't.
Like you pointed out with hard drives, their reported size, you know, when you buy a 1 terabyte hard drive, that is a blank, unformatted, unloaded drive.
Yes.
When you format it, you lose some space. And when you load an operating system on it, you lose some space. So, you know, for what I'm used to have a 16 gig device reporting that it has 12.5 gig available is completely in line with what I would expect. I'm not seeing any problem here.
I agree.
If Apple has said that you should have the full 16 gig available, then I can see where people would be upset.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect that to be a true comment, but if that's what they said, then yeah, I can see how being upset that I don't have that available.
That's kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, it is, and I didn't cross-reference to see if that statement was a legitimate Apple statement or if it was something that was maybe paraphrased for the benefit of the people suing Apple. So, I don't know how really legitimate or these people are going to be or how it's going to play out for them from a court situation. But I was thinking the same thing. Like I said, I had an iPhone 4. 16 gig model, and I didn't have 16 gigs of available space on it. And knowing what hard drives have to have on it, that makes sense. So, I don't know. That's all I had to say there. It's interesting, though. I mean, all the more reason that companies have to be careful what they say and how they market their stuff, because people don't see it the same way. You know, and if you're ambiguous, they can take it in their benefit from a legal standpoint.
Be clear about what you're saying.
Yep. True for life.
All right, then. People were moving back to the Sony ship in terms of they're releasing an apology. Due to that, apparently their servers were not up to snuff during the holiday season.
Which servers are we talking about?
The PlayStation Store servers.
Ah.
Apparently, due to a supposed DDoS attack and combination of everyone getting PS4 games for their new systems and having to update every time you want to play a game, much like the PS3, servers were hit quite hard. And in during this thing, Sony has released thanking people for their patience, apologizing for slow service, offering a 10% discount for one-time 10% discount for the PlayStation Store. and a 5-day extension for the PSN network.
So those that pay to subscribe to PSN, they got 5 days free mm-hmm. on top of that, and everybody across the board got a one-time 10%
as well. Yeah. I mean, you can't just like, get the subscription and now I get 10% off.
Yeah, you've got to have the subscription.
You got to have a subscription on Christmas.
Yeah.
The one thing that's actually kind of struck me is even if you had a trial subscription, they still offer that 5-day extension.
Well, that makes even more sense because you were given X amount of days free, and then though you can't utilize it over those days because of Sony's issues, then they should credit that.
Yep.
So, and they are.
So if you have a Sony Plus subscription, you will be getting those. You will not have to worry about the extension and the 10% off. It will already be automatic into it. You just select, I want 10% off on this order when checking out. But good on Sony. You know, they realized that they actually had a problem with their servers, intentional or otherwise, and they came out to fix it. You know, this is starting to become a growing trend with companies that their servers aren't quite up to speed. So I'm talking about another company, Blizzard, with their past two launches, both for Warlords of Draenor and the expansion for Hearthstone, Gnomes and Goblins, were quite terrible. Gnomes and Goblins, in fact, were actually shut down the servers that you couldn't play any Blizzard game at all.
That's awesome.
Well, and as I understand the issue that Sony was having with the PlayStation, I believe they were being attacked. I believe this was a malicious, intentional downing of their servers by an outside force.
I did say there's a DDoS, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a hybrid between DDoS and peak usage with the holiday situation.
Exactly.
So it was, you know, hit on two fronts.
Yeah, and I don't even understand.
Sony's not doing so well right now.
Well,
yeah, I mean, with the pictures and everything, yeah.
I just don't understand why people have to DDoS attack, especially on these particular up times. You know,
the reason they do it is because they can. It's pretty funny. Much it. It's
giggles. Yeah, but ugh.
Just to be jerks.
Pretty much. Moving on. Just to
be jerks.
Brad.
Yes, we can move on if you wish. Your court. So, while we're on the subject of internet and bandwidth. Google made a rare public comment this week about the future of net neutrality, and this is a subject that we have discussed in the past.
Yes.
With the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, still considering its what it's going to do, but they have come out and said that they are strongly leaning towards regulating the internet companies as... it's called Title II regulation, which is essentially that they would be utility companies.
Okay.
And there's some mixed feelings on that, and that's not what we're getting into with this one. What we are going to get into is Google, in their rare public comment, said, if you decide to regulate internet service providers as Title II utilities, that could actually work out really good for us being Google. And by extension of what it would mean, it could end up being really good for us, the consumer. By deciding that ISPs are now Title II utilities, that means Google, as being a utility, would have access to utility poles, which up until now they have been prohibited from using. Comcast gets to use it for cable. AT&T gets to use it for telephone. But Google has not been able to use it, which means any cities where they have rolled out Google Fiber ISP service, they have to go to the expense of digging ditches and burying their cable, which is extremely expensive, as you can imagine.
Is cable TV considered a utility?
Yes, it is.
It is. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay.
So, if Google gets access to utility poles, it would significantly reduce their cost of rolling out their fiber optic network and allow them to get into more markets because now they're a regulated telecom utility.
Yep.
Which means we may end up with more competition in more areas, which is always good for us.
Always. We love the competition.
We do love the competition. So I don't know if Title II is exactly the right way to go in this, but even if they do go that way, it looks like that there at least will be some potential good benefits for the consumers in this.
Very nice.
I hope so.
Well, from underground, so to speak, with cabling and whatnot, to space. Elon Yay. Musk, our favorite Tesla founder and SpaceX CEO, founder and chief technology officer, participated in a Reddit AMA, which is an Ask Me Anything, Monday the... I have the 6th on here, but 6th would have been Tuesday. I believe Monday the 5th. And coming from that, he had said that sometime in 2015, I hope to unveil my blueprints for a massive, actually the words used were gargantuan spaceship that could transport materials and colonists to Mars. He hopes to, he says, the Mars transport system will be completely new architecture. I am hoping to present this towards the end of the year. And he says this, if they can do it, he hopes to be able to have the capability to put people on Mars 2026, which sounds far away. It's only 12 years. We're closer to that than we are the year 2000. You know,
way to make me feel old, dude.
Right, I know. So it could be really, really interesting. Even just being able to see the designs and the concepts that are involved. Obviously, SpaceX has been involved in transporting materials to ISS, so just potentially ramping up the scale. But space colonization is not out of reach, it seems.
So I have a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, I hope it's not as pie in the sky as his whole hyper transport train concept was. I mean, that was cool and all, but he released that and it's like, hey, this is awesome technology that will never be built.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, really? We're not going to do this. It's cool. I'm glad he thinks like this. Obviously, we need guys like him.
Yep.
But, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Well, a few kind of thoughts I had with this, and my big issue with the whole space situation now, is that it's a money pit. You know, it's not a service to the public that can be sold to generate revenue back into the, work and expansion of it. It's purely a cost and a money pit. But what if colonists on Mars were able to mine for resources or gather materials that there's, to our knowledge, no life on Mars? So, quote unquote, destroying the planet, there's nothing really to get destroyed from a living standpoint. So maybe that opens up a commercial or industrial opportunity that can turn it into a money pit, into a manageable process.
So, seeing as you went there, that kind of ties into my next point. I'm not opposed to space exploration. I think we have learned so much from the relatively brief amount of time that we have been spacefaring. However, given how poorly we do at managing our own planet,
yep,
I'm not sure that we're qualified to explore other planets.
That's a fair statement.
And, you know, your comments actually play into that. You know, hey, we don't know that there's other there are life forms there. We don't know that there's not. Maybe there are life forms that we don't know how to understand yet.
Sure.
But we don't know that we are, so let's go screw up their planet.
Of course. There's no one there that we know about that can complain, so why not?
Yeah.
No, I'm obviously I would like to see mankind move in a more humbled direction and a more aware direction in our actions with our environment. And if that, if we were to start putting people on other planets, we would hope that they would take similar mentalities with them. But we have to be aware of what's driving this and how can it be profitable to be sustained. And there's only a few options for that.
The creepiest thing is I'm playing Dead Space right now, and we're talking about outer space mining. If any of you have ever played Dead Space, you know where this is getting really freaking creepy.
Yep. Anyway.
Again, my biggest hesitation with this is I don't know that we as a race, that mankind, is ready for interstellar. Well, I suppose it's not interstellar yet, but interplanetary population.
Yep.
We haven't learned to manage what is ours, and we're going to go mess with what is potentially someone else's.
In theory.
You know, hey, I don't know how to maintain my house, and it's falling down and looks like, you know, shambles, so let me come live in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'll critique your decor.
Yeah.
This scares me, actually. This scares me.
I think I'm just more curious on his blueprint concepts and his designs from a realistic feasibility from building it and how that may or may not relate to some of the sci-fi constructions we've seen in movies and video games and things like that. So that I'm just kind of curious as how maybe some of those things have played into modern technology and now potential future technology.
Sure.
That's all.
But we have a lot to fear from future technology as well if we're not careful.
Skynet.
You know, that's not as funny as it first sounds.
No, it's really, really not.
There are a lot of technologists that are already looking that way that maybe it won't be directly self-aware, but if we can create a computer that can outthink us and that can evolve, we are very close to essentially sealing our own doom.
I don't know if either of you ever saw the movie Stealth. It's with Jessica Biel. And they make an AI aircraft.
I've seen it.
Yeah, so essentially an unmanned vehicle that is a supercomputer that, the spoiler alert, but gets struck by lightning and essentially becomes self-aware. And the creator of it made the statement of, you can't create something and tell it to learn and tell it to evolve, but then put shackles on it. You can't tell it, learn this, but don't learn that. If you want it to grow and evolve, you have to let it grow and evolve. And then you can't be mad when it does something you don't want it to do. And yeah, I agree. We're right there. I mean, I don't say we're right there, but we're following a path close from that. And as we talked before with wireless connected refrigerators and thermostats and washing machines, I mean, we're just... you know, we're putting wireless and connectivity in devices that realistically don't need it. Light switches, garage door openers. I mean, it's all there. And one person decides they're going to make a self-aware computer and plugs it to the internet and I mean, more or less doom.
Well, so. And if we succeed, even accidentally, in creating a self-aware computer, or even just a super intelligent computer that can make its own decisions, whether it's aware of itself or not.
Sure.
If it starts making decisions and learning and growing based on its own algorithms, there is no guarantee and there is no way of guaranteeing that we as humans factor in as a high priority in its programming.
Yeah, exactly.
We are, you know, we're wasteful. We take up a lot of room. We're extremely inefficient at everything we do.
On that note, I challenge you, and I challenge our listeners to see the movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp. I know I've talked about this before. It plays very closely to your statements.
Okay.
So do it.
I don't think I've seen that.
Do it, meow.
There's also some nonfiction books. I want to say it's called Man's Final Invention.
Okay.
Written by a scientist. I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head, but actually goes through how, you know, a super intelligent AI could be the last thing we ever create because, again, there's no guarantee it will hold any kind of loyalty towards us.
Agreed.
And if it learns, you know, and again, we are inefficient. We are space and time consuming. And, you know, compared to a computer, we're just a waste of time and space.
Yes.
And, you know, when we get to that point, there's no guarantee that we will be seen as good to keep alive.
No argument there.
I know that's a little far from, you know, Mars exploration, but I think that with the interplanetary exploration and with the quantum leaps that we're making in computer science, we have to tread very carefully.
Don't argue with that. Well, before we let this rant get any further on, Wade, you want to take us in another direction before we wrap up?
Sure. Continuing on, Steam recently had an update, bring along with updated and improved features, you know, better streaming capabilities as the Steam Stream. It's a tongue twister.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, don't.
We'll be here forever. lower CPU requirements when running paint programs and cinemas or videos. But the one thing people are, well, overjoyed yet finding it a tool to complain about is this new update has a built-in frames per second counter.
Sweet.
So that way if a game that comes out that says we're running 60 frames per second, but you're only getting
59.
Yeah. I tried to like a decent comparison there. You can go to the forums and complain about it because that's what you really need to do. Not really.
Apparently not.
Well, and although I said it tongue-in-cheek, unfortunately, the community tends to be filled with those kind of people that, you know, if you're supposed to be getting 60 frames per second and you're getting 25, yeah, there's something wrong that needs to be corrected.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
If you're supposed to be getting 60 and you're getting 59, that could very well be just a rounding error. But I can see people getting all bent out of shape because 59 is not 60. They're not getting everything they paid for.
Yeah, exactly. Give someone a reason to complain and watch them complain.
Because people love
to complain. Not even a reason, but just the opportunity to complain.
People love to complain. I don't understand it.
About everything. Anything. Yeah. Whatever.
Welcome to life.
I mean, it's nice that it's there, but I feel it may lead to some, how do I say this, requiring companies to actually follow through with their promises. I'm talking about video game developers.
Yes.
And saying, if this runs at 60, well, we now have a service on the PC, which is basically standard if you want to be a PC gamer, that will tell you what it's running at. And if it doesn't reach that standard, well, people will know. Because word of mouth.
Well, I think it's going to be a two-edged sword. I like where you're going with this, and I think it is a good thing to have some accountability. Hold their feet to the fire. Look, you said we were supposed to get 60, we're getting 25. Obviously, there's something wrong.
Yep.
You know, but like I said, two-edged sword. That side of it will be great. I just hope it doesn't get used by too many trolls to complain about negligible issues.
This runs at this. Did you close this program? Click. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that too. Sometimes the issues that you're seeing are completely self-provoked.
In computer science, we called it error between keyboard and chair.
That's right.
Operator error.
Operator error. Well, very good, guys. We got anything else to touch base on? I mean, we're floating on that hour mark that we'd love to hit.
What do we got going on for next week?
Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty of stories with a house full of animals. So if that interests you, we'll be here next week.
Stay tuned for an abundance of animals.
That's a different podcast. Wait.
Oh, what? Sorry. No.
But yeah, thanks for hanging out. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. We enjoyed doing it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.